This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We wish you a warm welcome from the radio and the internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Who are the saints to whom Paul writes in his biblical letters? Well, saints are those who walk with us, showing us how God has worked through their life and teaching us how to face life in all kinds of situations. Please stay with us today as we talk about our favorite saints.
This is All Saints Sunday. Do you have a favorite saint? We're going to talk about this in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for that word that you have inspired and that has gone out to visit with the millions of people about the things of God. We thank you for those saints who have come to trust Christ, suffer for him, die for him, and make it possible for us to have a clear understanding of what the gospel truly is. So on this All Saints Sunday, we pray that you will lead us by your Holy Spirit into a teaching that is often not put great emphasis upon, but is extremely important. In Jesus' name, amen.
All hail the power of Jesus' name, when angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown.
Friends in Christ, do you have a favorite saint? You might say, no, I don't think I do. Well, this is All Saints Sunday, and I'd like to spend a little time with you in the sermon on what is a saint and why do we have All Saints Sundays. Now, perhaps the most common definition of a saint would be one who has been a great person in the past, he is dead, and so they canonize him, and they make him a saint. Saint Peter, Saint John, so forth and so on. One of the spirited people who who has departed and is in heaven. But there is another way that the Bible talks about this word saint. For example, in Romans, we have Paul writing to the saints who are there in Rome. Let me read it to you. It's from Romans, the first chapter, the seventh verse. To all in Rome who are loved by God and are called to be saints. In other words, the saints who live there in Rome. He also writes a second letter to the Corinthians, and there he says, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all the saints throughout Achaia. And when he gets to the book of Ephesians, he writes, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. And finally, the one in the book of Philippians, the first chapter, where he says to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. In other words, in his writing these letters, he is writing to people who are living. And they are God-possessed. Jesus Christ is their Savior and their Lord, and they live for him, some die for him, many have all kinds of difficulty with having him in their lives. We see this in many of the great. I have a couple of saints that I would like to talk with you about today. The first one is Martin Luther. Now, I am a Christian, and I have been raised in the Lutheran Church. And I have been given books from the time that I was a little boy on the life of Martin Luther. Therefore, he has become quite an individual in my life. Certainly, he was never considered to be perfect. He did a lot of things wrong. At times, he could be downright obnoxious. In one of his writings, I think I find him that way. His wife's name was Kitty. And Kitty didn't have very much money to feed Martin and all the children. And another thing that made it a bit more difficult was he was forever bringing students home from the University of Wittenberg, where he was teaching, and she had to get the food ready for them. Make it stretch out just a little bit more. On this particular day, Luther had brought some students home, and he wanted to talk with them about theological subjects. He made it so interesting that one of the students, unbeknown to what he was doing, pulled out his pocket knife and carved his initials in Katie's brand new dining room table. When they had all left, and Kitty was fixing the table, she saw those initials, and she began to cry. It was then that her husband, Martin, said, "What are you crying about, Kitty?" And she said, "Look what they did to my table." And he went over and saw the boy's initials, and finally he said, "Katie, I never thought you were such a materialist, that you cared that much about that table." I think that was very hard. I think that Luther was way out of sorts when he said anything like this, self-centered or whatever else he might want to be. I say this to you because I don't want you to think that a saint is perfect. He is not, nor was Martin Luther. Well, then why is he my saint? The one that I often turn to, probably almost daily, certainly weekly. Because he has revealed to me that I am saved by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. It is Jesus who has suffered and died for me on the cross. And as a result of this, That is a teaching that I can never set aside. If sometimes I would begin to have some questions about the assurance of my salvation, or if God were taken away from me because of some terrible thing I might have done. It is first the scriptures, and then it is my saint, my favorite saint, or one of them, Martin Luther, who said, "You are justified by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone." That's a message for all of us here today. As we listen to Crusaders, that's what we want to proclaim, that we are saved not by our own good works, they are the fruit of our faith, but we are saved through trusting in that Savior, Christ Jesus, our Lord. And we're willing to make him known, wherever it may be, realizing that there could be a price that we have to pay. A second saint that I have died not so many years ago. He is Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I remember when in the books I got introduced to this great man of God. He lived in Nazi Germany. He is known as a pastor, as a prophet, but also as a spy in Germany during the days of Hitler and Nazism. He was put into concentration camps. And I'll just quote one piece of literature from his pen. He writes when he is about ready to go to Flossenbürg, "The end is near." It was Sunday, and Bonhoeffer had a service for his fellow prisoners. He hardly had finished his prayer when two evil-looking men came in and said, "Prisoner Bonhoeffer, get ready to come with us." For all prisoners, that had come to mean only one thing. "Prisoner Bonhoeffer, come with us. You are about to go to Flossenbürg, where you will die on the gallows." Those who had been with him at this other place of keep said goodbye to him. They give him a good farewell. They entrusted him into the hands of God. And to one of them, he said, "This is the end. But for me, it is a beginning of life." He was a man not yet in his 40s. He had written many books. He was a great scholar, but he was a warm, quiet, childlike Christian who trusted Jesus Christ for everything. And though they could take his life, they could not in any way take him away from his Father. That was his. So I ponder this life when I have a little hardship that doesn't amount to anything. And I think of Bonhoeffer. I think of him when I have that great opportunity to challenge some people with a clear witness for the gospel. And I kind of drop the ball. Bonhoeffer comes there. "Jesus forgives me. Again and again. But I need somebody to whom I can look who has lived here on this earth and was an example for me in a particular part of the Christian faith at that time." Bonhoeffer was that person. The third one that I would like to talk to you about just a little bit lives a little closer to me and has for a long time. She is a lady who has meant a great deal to me, a person who has comforted me when I was sort of down in the dumps, a person who directed me when I was wrong, a person who would direct me to go in the right way. All of these things. She is my wife. I've known her now for more than 65 years, and we have spent life together. I have seen her as a dynamic Christian with a strong devotional life and living in a personal relationship with Christ. And when mine would stray a little bit and become impersonal, my favorite saint would say, "Don't you think you need to spend a little more time with your Bible?" I have known her as a pastor's wife, and that is a very, very important position. Regardless of what we pastors say, they not only call us, but many of our traditional congregations calls the pastor's wife too. And you can deny it all you want to, my brothers. If your wife is not right along with you, you're in a sinking ship. I saw her as a teacher in our church. I saw her as one who had a Bible class on Sunday morning that numbered up to 90. I saw her leave our home once in a while after the children had grown up and would spend 2 or 3 days talking to ladies' groups in the surrounding area. These are the ways I have seen her, and many, many more. But 18 years ago, one of my favorite saints, my wife, had a bad stroke. Since then, she has been unable to use her entire right side. No longer can she write. No longer can she walk without assistance. No longer can she play the piano. No longer can she go with me some afternoon and go out and play a game of golf. Most always we can have a good conversation, but sometimes her memories lapse. She can't remember. I'll ask her a question and she said that went with the stroke. But that person has never really complained that I have heard. Oh, she may say something like this when the children come home and they're making dinner. She'll whisper sometimes, "Oh, how I wished I could go over there and help them. Oh, how I wished that I could do the dishes even." But all of that has been taken away. I have seen her alone with her God and tiptoed through the room so that I did not disturb her. My wife, a saint. To the saints at Philippi, Paul wrote, "Grace to you." To the saint in Cedar Falls, Iowa, Paul writes to Eunice. And there are many others. There are millions of them. These are the saints. And so again, I ask the question, don't you think that we need one to walk by our side? Not only those from the history book, we'll continue with our great men of God from whatever denomination they may be the father of, but to look at their life, to see their weaknesses, but to see what God has done for them. It isn't that they did this for themselves. God did it for them. And he would continue to make them that inspiration that the kingdom of God needed. Teaching us how to face life in all different kinds of situations. The Christian life pointing us again and again in the right way. Yes, it is All Saints Sunday. It can come, this saint can come from your reading. You can have a new book and meet there a person who is going to be your inspiration for a long time. You keep some of these books by your side, and every so often you'll know where to go and reread and find out how that brother or that sister was one who could help you at the given hour. From a person you have met in your reading, you see some great people. For example, when we take a look at the apostles. Yes, can't we say the epistle according to that great man of God, St. Paul, to the Roman Church? Of course we can. And that'll be our inspiration too. So he is one of them. From one of those who yet lives with you, who seems to be just a little bit ahead of you in your relationship with God. Don't you see how he can help you? See what he has done. That's what God wants us to have. He wants us to know him. He wants us to know him, and he reveals this to us through his word. And so he says, read that word. Read it, live with it, be saturated by it. He wants us to know it through the church and that word that is preached there. He wants to give us a tangible means whereby we can almost feel it and taste it as we kneel at the communion table to receive in with and under the body and blood of our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ. We remember these. We have been catechized that these are God's way of revealing himself. But now, my friend, now we have one more, the saints of old, and the saints who live today. May they be the people, too, who lead us on our way to do greater things in the kingdom of God. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have worked in the hearts of people And they have not only been justified and made assured that their salvation is ready, but they have also continued to grow in that faith and have become sanctified. And they can be the saints to whom you write also today. Anyone who trusts Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and makes him their only God, this one, according to Scripture, is the saint. Lord, we thank you for that revelation. We pray that our people round about us may see the necessity of bearing witness to that Christ, to the point of being a person that is known for their love and their faithfulness to him. God, we ask that you will be with us in our churches. Strengthen us, O God, that we may reach out with that bold witness, that loud cry, that outside of Jesus Christ, there is no real strength and power to face the difficulties of our day. So we commit ourselves into your care for another week. We pray your blessings upon us and upon our loved ones, wherever they are. May we, O God, be faithful witnesses of thine. And so we ask that you hear us as we pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message has encouraged you to follow the example of the saints of old and of those who live today to do great things in the kingdom of God. A memorial gift is a meaningful way to remember a loved one. Memorial gifts to Christian Crusaders can be given to commemorate a very special person in their birthday, anniversary, or other occasion. We thank those who have honored the memory of someone special with a gift to Christian Crusaders, allowing us to continue bringing the gospel message to thousands of listeners each week. Please direct your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Or you can call our office to find out more at 1-888-693-2484. Christian Crusaders publishes a monthly, weekly email newsletter and a quarterly print newsletter to bring information to our listeners. The weekly e-newsletter contains a preview of the upcoming program, while the print newsletter, called The Crusader, contains special articles by our speakers and thoughts of faith and life from other members of our staff. Please call our office to join our mailing list. To request a CD or printed copy of today's sermon, you may call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also write to Christian Crusaders at P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth every Sunday for the past 76 years.